This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. On November 9, 2015, conservative commentator Pat Buchanan made the following statement in light of the current migrant crisis and, of course, now the attacks of the terrorists. He said, "Will Europe remain Europe if she is repopulated by Arabs, Muslims, Asians, and Africans? What will hold Europe together? One day soon, a voice will arise across the Atlantic calling for an end to this invasion by force, if necessary, and declare, let Europe be Europe." In some follow-up comments, he said the following on November 22, according to Newsmax. He said that the United States and Europe are moving more conservative in light of events such as the November 13 terrorist attacks on Paris. "I think we are seeing a general retreat of liberalism in the United States and in Europe, and a fairly dramatic shift to the right, if you will, politically and ideologically. These events are producing a tremendous rise in nationalism. Europe is also seeing a move toward Caesarism," he said. "In other words, the look for a strong leader, someone who will deal with these devils who came to kill us and who will deal with them in a tough way. So I think it's a change in the world." He is very true. There is definitely a rise of nationalism, especially in Europe. I'd like to give you some facts which were published by the Business Insider on November 19. They say, "Today it's the turn of the Sweden Democrats. In 2014, the hard right party came in third place on 12.9% of the vote, shocking international commentators. Now, according to a most recent poll, the Sweden Democrats are ahead on 26.7%, 5 points clear of any other party. In Germany right now, the AfD, which is a right-winged non-Muslim party, let's say, has about 10%, but the Dutch show that the commentator, the demagogue, however you want to call him, Geert Wilders, and his party for freedom, they have 19 points clear of the next party. And of course, if there would be elections today, they would have a 19% lead. Also, they say it's the same with the rest of Europe. Austria's Freedom Party and Italy's regional hard-right Liga Nord. But then you have the situation in France, and Front National leader Marine Le Pen leads in most polls for the 2017 presidential election. And so it goes on and on. And of course, you have a similar phenomenon here in the United States. And of course, you do have it in Europe. And the question is, what does prophecy have to say all about that? Now, the EU Observer wrote on November 19 that Jean-Claude Juncker, who is the EU Commission President, has this to say. "One day, we should rethink the European architecture with a group of countries that will do things, all things, together, and others that will position themselves in an orbit away from the core," Juncker said. So he's speaking of a two-speed Europe. And he also stated, according to the article, that there should be a European army, and he argued for a common defense policy in the EU. So if we summarize up to this point, we find a definite desire to give Europe back to the Europeans, stop the migration of non-Christian groups, let's put it this way, and of course the desire for a strong leader who will make an end to the chaos and the confusion which is happening in Europe right now. Of course, if you go back in time, you find that especially the Germans longed for a strong leader prior to World War II, and they got a strong leader, but the strong leader didn't deliver. And that's the danger with strong leaders if they come from the wrong corner. If you have a just and righteous strong leader, like Jesus Christ will be when he will rule on this earth, that's great, that's phenomenal. That is what we want. But in this day and age, in a world ruled by Satan, cut off from God, a strong leader, in all likelihood, will not be a righteous one. Old Testament Israel had to experience that in a very deep and sad way, because the kings they wanted, most of them, were not strong leaders in a righteous way. In fact, there was no righteous king over the house of Israel after the house of Israel split from the house of Judah. Now, they came to Samuel, and they asked for a strong leader. They asked for a king. And I'd like to read to you in 1 Samuel chapter 8 what happens. They came to Samuel, and they seemed to have all the right reasons as to why there should be a strong leader. They said, look, you are old, your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And of course, God told Samuel, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. And so Samuel gave them some pointers. If you read the rest of the story in 1 Samuel 8, he says, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you, and he will make weapons of war. And so he also will take a tenth of young grain and your vintage and a tenth of your sheep. In other words, he will plague you with heavy taxes. And that was on top of the 10% God demanded. Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. You see, that's a problem. It was all in connection with fighting and winning wars. And so the Bible tells you that there is going to be a strong leader. The Bible even calls him the beast. But he will be working hand in hand with 10 kings, 10 other European leaders, strong leaders. But the end result is going to be very bad. Now, when the beast power arises and arrives, it's going to be a very strong, charismatic, and political leader. The world will be in awe. They will worship him. What a great person, what a great power he is ruling over. Who can make war with the beast, they will say. But in Revelation 17, you are being told a different story. It says in verse 12 that there are 10 horns, there are 10 kings. Now, when John saw that in a vision, they did not have authority yet. See, they would still come. It was a prophecy for the future, for the end time. 10 nations, groups of nations, core nations, if you please, Mr. Juncker was talking about, they will have the power and the authority over the rest of Europe, but they in turn will give that authority to a very charismatic, political, military leader, the beast. And so you read, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour, very short time, as kings with the beast. And these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. He will be that king who will rule over all of them. That strong leader people were craving for, the one who will make an end to all the wrong things they see. But they will be terribly deceived and terribly mistaken. Because notice what happens, what is being described in the next verse. These will make war with the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the returning Jesus Christ. They will all be in opposition to Jesus Christ. And they will try to fight him. Of course, they will lose, obviously, but they will try to fight him. The king, the beast, those other kings, the ones the people wanted, they will be so antagonistic to Jesus Christ that they are willing to even fight him when he returns. But we read the Lamb will overcome them. We have to be very careful when we ask for a strong leader in this Satan-deceived world. Now, prophecy tells you it's going to happen. But we, as Christians, had better no part in that, not even in our thoughts. And we should also realize what is happening in Europe right now, what is going to happen there pretty soon, is indirect fulfillment of biblical prophecy. We have prepared a free booklet, The 10 European Revivals of the Ancient Roman Empire. And this goes into the history of Europe, based on the Bible, based on history, based on archaeology, but it also tells you what is going to happen very soon now in the future, and that a beast is going to arise on the world scene, a very strong leader, but what he will do and what it will mean for you and for me. So please request this free booklet, and thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.